Hello and welcome to episode number 2 of Good in a Crisis. And today we're going to be talking about what we do, LSLCS, what the organisation stands for, what we do and how we do it. And hopefully it will give you a good idea of everything about us. And my name's Barry, and with me again today is Simon, my co-host.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you doing today?
Not so bad. Chomping at the bit to get out of the house, though, Barry. I feel like, I need to get back to Dale House.
I think everybody's really, really feeling it now. Even people that were fine with it for the first weeks and maybe months. And it's now starting to get a little bit old, I think.
Yeah.
We can say something about that. We are thinking about what returning to face-to-face service will look like. I do get asked this quite a lot by people, and I'm happy to report that we are making plans and thinking about what the services will look like. Did you have anything burning that you think might be useful to mention before we start?
Oh, no, not really. I'm just excited to find out what it is that we are talking about today.
Okay, well, this is number 2 of our podcast. In the first one, we really aimed it at people that knew us already. And right. This one is going to be aimed a little bit more at people that don't know us. So okay. We're going to try to explain who we are and what we do.
Right, that should be easy for us.
Yeah, it should. And to prove that, I haven't really briefed Simon at all with what my questions are going to be, but I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh no!
So to make it more of a conversation rather than just me sitting here reading a script. So can you tell us? Do you know why Lead Survivor led to Crisis Service? Why we started? How we started? What the history was there?
Well, where shall I start? Well, the organisation is called Lead Survivor Led Crisis Service.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start. And the survivor-led part comes from, as I think everybody knows, that people who work here have had their own experiences of crisis in their life and therefore are survivors of their own times of crisis. And we feel that that's a valuable kind of part of the job and doing the being able to do the job well. But it also, the survivor-led part also represents a kind of a movement of a movement in mental health and mental health sort of services and provision that I think arose sort of late 80s 90s, where people had a real sense of wanting to create services that were kind of fit for purpose at a time when mental health services were seen as not fit for purpose. And this is coming out of a time when there was much more kind of institutional kind of
asylums and so on,
yeah, that kind of thing, yeah. And so I went through a period of this sort of care in the community kind of period, and you know, there was a political edge to that which I think people didn't like, which was like just basically emptying the institutions and leaving people up to their own devices, which people didn't like. But I think it was also an opportunity, I think, for people to say, right, well, what sort of provision can we provide? And I think that's where the Survivor Led Crisis Service came from, which was a group of people coming together, advocates and for decent mental health provision, who had themselves been through their own experiences of being in that old school style of mental health provision, and thought, right, what can we do? What would we like to see the sort of services that we would use in a crisis? Yeah. And I think that's how it kind of came about. It was quite amazing to think that it could come about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that.
I believe they campaigned for 5 years before it was approved and the funding was found. But as you say, it's pretty amazing that it did actually happen. And this was in 1999 when the service was originally started. And I think it was part of Leeds Social Care at the time. But there was always a plan for it to become an independent charity, which it did, I think, about a year or so later. It's actually written within we don't have a constitution, I don't think, or whatever the equivalent of a constitution is, but it's written within the terms and conditions of the organisation that there will always be, I think it's 50% plus one of the board members of the Board of Trustees need to identify as having their own mental health difficulties in their life. And it's one of the requirements for people that want to work or volunteer in the organisation as well, that again, we're able to say that, yes, I've had my own difficulties with mental health and be able to talk about that. So that's who we are as an organisation. What about, I'm going to be someone who's just stumbled across this podcast or stumbled across the website, lives in Leeds, wanting to know a bit more. You've got a lot of services. What is Leeds Survivor Day Crisis Service then? What times are you open? Might need breaking down a bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was speaking before, I didn't actually mention that, yeah, we are a crisis service. So, you know, all our services are crisis services. I guess apart from the groups, which are more like kind of, I guess they were kind of designed for people kind of moving out of a period of crisis, perhaps. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think again, we say that crisis is often a period of isolation for people. So the groups provide that place for you to go when you've been in crisis and used the services, and you're wanting to do something that's less focused on talking about your problems, but still has the acknowledgement that you've been through some stuff and you might want to be around other people who've been through some stuff too.
Yeah, so getting back to the question,
I do apologise.
Now it's a set of crisis services, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That all work in a particular way, which is employing a person-centred approach to people, human relationships and ways of being with other people. And I think over the years, due to kind of expansion and different sources of funding, you know, the different spokes of the wheel have kind of been added. So from the initial Dial House, which is a physical building where people visit and get some emotional support in times of crisis as an alternative to statutory provision, to the phone line Connect. Don't know how long Connect's been going, Barry. Maybe you can
2001, I think.
Yeah, so that's similar service, staff by similar staff, but provided over the phone and now online. And then we have Dial House at Touchstone, which is similar service, providing similar crisis support, but specifically for people from Black and minority ethnic groups. I'm not sure what year that's. That was it about 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Seven, 1993. It's what am I saying? 2013, 1993. I clearly still think it's the year 2000, don't I?
Yeah, and I guess all these different spokes develop at different times, at different paces, and perhaps with different sources of funding, don't they? When there might be a particular need, and because of our expertise in the field, we can, you know, provide for that need. What else have we got?
Well, we've also so they are the main ones that we run, but we also have a hand in a few different things as well. So we're part of the Leeds Suicide Bereavement Service.
That's right.
Which provides daytime support to people who have been bereaved by suicide. So those bereaved by suicide are statistically more likely to end their own lives as well. So we're part of that service, and we are also part of the Wellbeing Cafe. You did a lot of work with the Wellbeing Cafe. Do you want to briefly explain what?
Well, I think that was due to the fact that there was an amount of money offered to create a Wellbeing Cafe, and I think at the time Touchstone, a local charity organisation, took the lead on that, but wanted our input as kind of leaders in crisis service provision. We kind of formed a bit of a kind of a partnership where we would have one of our staff members working within their team to kind of lead on the way of working. So that's another way that the organisation works in partnership with other organisations. So it's got quite a lot of things going on at any one time.
And more all the time. So in the last couple of months, we've started a new partnership service, this time specifically for young people aged, I think it's 13 upwards. 11, sorry. So for people aged 11 to 17, we now have Safe Zone, which the idea is it's much like Dial House, so it's a physical place you can come to and get support, but specifically people aged 11 to 17. And that's running in conjunction with The Marketplace, which is a young people's mental health charity in Leeds. Also, we have Teen Connects, which is a service operated as part of the Connect helpline. And that is open every day during the week from 3 o'clock, supporting 11 to 18 year olds specifically. And there's a text number especially for that, because teens text more than they ring. And it's open through the rest of Connect opening hours. And at weekends, it's just the normal Connect opening hours, 6 till 2.
We have specific services to meet the needs of deaf people. BSL Connect. That's on a particular night of the week, Monday night.
At the moment, yeah.
There's a deaf group. I think that's on a Tuesday night, is it? Oh, no, Tuesday day in the day. But a deaf person could contact us any night of the week and come and get support if we can arrange the interpreters. So I just encourage anybody to contact us and we'll, you know, try our best to meet that need.
Physical disabilities, it's a little bit more tricky because it's an old building, Dial House. It's a nice building, but it's not very accessible. I mean, the ground floor, most of the things that we need are on the ground floor. We've got a couple of downstairs bathroom, disabled toilet, disabled shower if someone needed to use that. And you've got a smoking shelter in the garden with a ramp that goes up to it. So if you're in a wheelchair, you could get up to it. But accessing the upstairs rooms is not terribly easy. So I know that causes some difficulties for some people. Though we do have a downstairs support room. So we have some availability, some resource. It's just not as complete as it could be. We've looked into sticking a lift on the outside of the building or something like that, but because it's a listed building, we can't do anything to the outside of it. So we are still investigating other things that we could do. I think we've been looking into a stair lift, for example, for people to get upstairs. I believe we were examining that when lockdown started, so that's obviously a little bit on hold now, that kind of thing. But yes, open to changing the way we do things. We like feedback. We want to know what works and what doesn't work, and we want to make the place as accessible as possible. All right. Okay, so they're the different services that we offer here. How does it all work then? Right. Let's say I'm not feeling too good one night. I mean, I might call it crisis, I might call it something else. I'm struggling. What do I do? How do I get to use this place?
Well, you just need to pick up the phone and call us or text. I guess what I didn't mention before is that pretty much all our services are out of hours services.
Yeah.
So we're open when other services aren't open. So that is primarily at night, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. And you said I can text if I don't want to talk on the phone.
Oh, you can text. Then we'll contact you. We'll speak to you. We'll ask you a little bit about what's going on for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about filling in a big long form or making a detailed referral. Just getting a sense of how you are and how you feel, and then use that to kind of organise the night. Yeah, and that's pretty much how things go, both at Dial House, the Wellbeing Cafes, and Dial House at Touchstone. It's a similar kind of process.
I mean, it sounds good, yeah, but like, what if my crisis is partly about money and I've got no money that night, you know? Am I supposed to walk across Leeds to get to there?
Well, that's where our taxi budget comes in handy.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have a taxi budget, so anybody who does want to come, we can just send a taxi out to pick them up, see someone, speak to someone for an hour, get things off the chest, explore their thoughts and feelings, however they want to use that time. Then they can spend time in the house, which is it's not like a clinical environment, it's not a hospital kind of environment, it's not like an office, it's like a homely kind of house, you know, with sofas, a kitchen, places to hang out, sit, relax.
Do you cook for us?
I have been known to cook on occasion, but we're not there to cook for people. What we prefer to do is offer our facilities to people, and they can use them if they wish. If they need some help, we can help them along or show them where people things are.
Yeah.
But staff sometimes do get involved in the cooking.
Uh-huh.
I went through I've been through an apple crumble period. Where
I remember that. Yeah.
It lasted quite a long time. It's a bit like Picasso's blue period. It lasted a number of years, but eventually, you know, we moved on to... I don't know what we moved on to, actually.
I was gonna say, what do you make now, then? You made a pizza once.
I did make pizza. I think we might have moved into our toasty period.
Oh, yeah, toasties.
Kind of toasty period, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, there's nothing more you want on a chilly, rainy day than a toasty. But I guess this is almost like what we're trying to provide, isn't it? It's a bit of comfort.
A place of sanctuary, isn't it? Where it's all those basic needs of warmth, roof over your head, and some food, and that can be met. But also that what we're providing is a quality of relationship that people might not have experienced out there in their lives.
Yeah.
At large. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what if I mean, I mentioned GPs, so I don't need to get referral from GP. I can just contact you myself when I want to come.
Oh no, text. Yeah.
What if, let's say, I've been told by my care team or whatever, we're not going to let you have therapy, we don't think you're ready for it, and you know you said I could come there and talk to someone. I mean, what if my GP found out about that? Do you routinely tell GPs about people visiting?
No. I think that's a common misconception, isn't it? That in some ways we're connected with everybody else, and that we all use, you know, the same computer system or something. Yeah. People's notes, and we know everything about people. We don't. All we know about people is what they choose to tell us, choose to share with us, you know, and that's how we like it. Mm. We don't keep a lot of information. We're not connected with, you know, all the different NHS organisations and systems and stuff like that.
So I can talk to somebody and I don't need to worry that the next day I'm going to get a phone call from a CPN, for example, saying, oh, what's this about you going and telling Dial House XYZ last night?
No, it's completely sort of confidential. I mean, obviously there are circumstances in which we might seek to, you know, contact someone else. If the person who's coming for support wants us to do that, we might do that, but also just in other circumstances around, you know, if we feel that that person's at risk to themselves or others, then obviously we'd have a conversation with them and we might end up speaking to someone else. But generally speaking, it's a confidential environment, it's a safe environment where you get a chance to speak to someone in confidence, in private, in comfort, about what's going on for you, and we find that that really does help people when they're experiencing bad times, you know.
Right. Fabulous. All right, well, I've made it sound a little bit like we're only accessible for or fine-tuned for people that are already in the mental health system. But what if I'm someone, I don't have a mental health diagnosis, in fact I've never had any contact with mental health services whatsoever before, I don't even know what talking therapies looks like, anything like that. In fact, I've always thought mental health is something for, you know, other people. It's not something I ever worried about, but I'm having a hard time. Can I use your service as well?
Of course, yeah, and lots of people in that sort of category do. You know, we might have all sorts of people use the service. It might be someone who's experienced a particular event. You know, could have been involved in a car crash. They could have, somebody close to them might have passed away. You know, any sort of life changing or traumatic event, perhaps. You know, I might just think, I need to talk to somebody, but I don't know where to go. They might Google need to talk to someone in Leeds.
Yeah.
And we might well come up. I don't know whether we would. You could try it, but I imagine we'd be somewhere near the top.
We're specifically, we're the fifth link, but actually the first one is a kind of mental health resource website, which I know we are definitely on.
That we're on, yeah. So, and a lot of our visitors fall into that sort of category. Other visitors may, you know, have kind of certain periods in their life that they're going through that might be a bit longer. It might be about some sort of a bout or a period of low mood, and they just really need to be able to talk it through. And so we might see someone like that you know, for a number of times over a short period of time, and then not see them again for perhaps years, you know.
So that's another thing that's different to other services. We don't have a cut-off date, like, you know, you don't stay on our books for a certain amount of time, and if you don't use us, we, you know, you need to apply again. It's not like that.
No.
Contact on the day, and if we don't hear from you for 5 years and you ring up and want to talk, that's fine.
That's fine, yeah.
Great. I think that's all my questions. Thanks very much.
Oh, okay. How many did I score out of 10?
You scored, well, because we like qualitative feedback rather than quantitative. You scored a big one of those like heart emojis where someone's hugging a heart.
Oh, excellent.
Give me a nice warm feeling there. Thank you.
Did I mention that we send people home in a taxi? Because I don't want people to think they have to walk home, you know.
Yeah. We don't. It's 1:30 now. We're closing. Bye. But where am I? How do I get home? We send you a taxi home as well.
There is a bus stop right outside.
Yeah, I mean, but there is. There's a hum coming from somewhere. I think that might be a cue.
Right. Okay.
Well, it's a bit longer this week. I hope it's been interesting and informative. Not necessarily to you, Simon, but to anybody listening.
I think I'm a bit more awake this week, Barry. You know,
okay, good. Okay, so in future episodes, we're going to have other members of the team as well. And we're going to
that'll be good. Can I do the questioning?
Perhaps, yeah. But we want to get a first-person account of all the different services as well to put the message out there. So that's what to look forward to in coming weeks. And we're also going to discuss our ideas around practice, around different types of mental health support as well, things that we do. Watch this space. All right, thanks for listening. This was episode number 2. It's 18th of June 2020, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye for now. Oh, no, I don't want to cancel. I tried to stop Zoom then. That's not what I want to do.